he's been seen on CNBC, the Fox News Channel, and the Fox Business Channel. His articles can be found on MarketWatch, Seeking Alpha, TheStreet.com, and many other places. He's the author of the weekly Best Stocks Now newsletter and the inventor of the Best Stocks Now app. He's president of Gunderson Capital Management. Here is professional money manager, Bill Gunderson.
And welcome to the Friday. It is the Friday, October the 24th edition of the Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management, a nationwide fee-based only registered investment advisory firm. Wow, we are off to the races here today on a lower than expected CPI report that almost ensures another rate cut, maybe two, before the end of the year. And the Dow is hitting a new all-time high today. It is up 389 points to 47,123. The NASDAQ is up 201 points today to 22,941. And the S&P 500 is closing in on 6,800. It's hitting a new all-time high of up 60 points to 6,798. The small caps have joined the party today. They're up 1.5%. Russell 2000's at 2,520 right now. And we have interest rates coming down a little bit after the cool CPI report. We're at 3.98 right now. Gold is down on that report, minus 1.6%. And Bitcoin right now is up 18.18 to 1,000 and 10,950. So welcome to today's Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management. And I don't know if we got Jeff Webster today. Do we have Jeff with us?
Bill, I'm here. Happy Friday to you.
Oh, there he is. I thought he was at Costco getting knockwurst and hot dogs for the big game tonight, Dodgers versus Toronto. But he is here with us. And this is unbelievable, Jeff. This is an all-time high on the S&P 500, almost 6,800. And I just want to remind folks, I'm the guy on April the 8th that wrote the article when the S&P was at 4,800, I put my neck on the line. I said, I think the tariffs are going to work. This is a great buying opportunity. We've gone from 4,800 to 6,800. That is unbelievable. And, of course, we're tacking on more today here. Lots of different things are driving this, but how about them Dodgers? Jeff, I was thinking this truly is a World Series because you've got a U.S. team playing a Canadian team, and you've got the biggest star ever to come out of Japan leading off for the Dodgers, and obviously a lot of Latin American players in the mix.
A lot of Dominicans, Venezuelans.
Yeah.
It's going to be a lot of fun.
And you've got Yamamoto, right, who's a starting pitcher for the Dodgers. And Vlad Guerrero, obviously, I believe, is Dominican. So it will be. It's just too bad. It comes on at 8 o'clock our time.
Bill, you're allowed to stay up a little later tonight.
Yeah.
You're allowed to stay up a little later tonight. It's Friday. It's the weekend, Bill. I give you permission to stay up. You have to have your jammies on.
Yeah. And looking at stock charts for the newsletter tomorrow. Hey, did you ever check into the price of tickets?
Yes.
Just give me some kind of idea. If Lynn and I wanted to fly to it starts in Toronto. If we wanted to fly to Toronto tomorrow's game, how much do I have to pay for two decent tickets?
Well, so as I was checking at the end of the Mariner Blue Jay series, the tickets in Toronto were about 40% higher than they were in Los Angeles. At least
really
tickets. The least expensive ticket that I saw in L.A. was about $800.
Well, that's not bad, but that's probably like way, way up at the top with Bob Uecker.
Well,
you know.
Yeah, the most of the seats, Bill, were going for $23,000.
That's what I thought, yeah, because we looked into tickets to Chicago and San Diego. And my wife likes good seats. She doesn't like sitting up in the – she doesn't like carrying oxygen to her seat. And they were like $3,000 a piece. I thought, you know, the best seat's right here on my couch at home.
Yep.
And I'm glad I didn't go to Chicago to see the Padres get ousted. Anyways, okay, let's begin with more – while we're on this international news front, Putin responds to new U.S. sankctions – against Rosneft and Lukoil. So there's your Ezekiel 38 chapter 38 update on Gog
and Magog.
If he's the guy, you know, he's not real happy over these sanctions, but he says, you know, it's just an attempt to put pressure on Russia, and no self-respecting country ever does anything under pressure. And he claims that Russia is a self-respecting country. So I don't see – it does put pressure on him, but whether it gets him to agree to a ceasefire with Ukraine, I doubt that. Trump-Xi meeting next week. That's their first face-to-face meeting since Trump took office this year. That will happen this coming week. Trump is heading to Asia for a five-day trip this weekend, starting with Malaysia, and then he'll travel to Japan, where he'll meet the new prime minister. His last stop will be South Korea, where he'll meet Xi on the sidelines of the Asia-Pacific Economic Cooperation Summit on Thursday. So anyway, that will be interesting, and I think the market is at least glad that they're meeting, right? I mean, it's one thing to have a standoff and not talk to each other, which never results in anything. It's better to at least be talking face to face and see if things can be worked out. And, you know, I've said before, and I think the ultimate deal is rare earth for chips, for the high speed chips. That seems to be the deal. And soybeans. Got to throw the soybeans in there with those chips for the American farmer. Now, meanwhile, up in Canada, while they'll be playing two national anthems at the opening pitch before the opening pitch of the World Series, Trump has canceled trade negotiations with Canada. Why? Because they played a Reagan ad in which Reagan, the great one, the great Ronald Reagan, decried the tariffs, saying how negative tariffs are. That made Trump mad. And he has now called off all tariff negotiations with Canada. So
that was a coy play by our Canadians up there. That's I saw that ad. I'm like, going, okay. Ronald Reagan,
you know,
one of the most beloved
Canadians
presidents
of all
time.
The Canadians are going to boo the U.S. national anthem if they play it. I imagine they would. I mean, when we play a Canadian hockey team in the U.S., we sit through both national anthems. It will be
interesting to see the Canadians' reaction. Yeah, I hope not. I mean, they're our friends. We need to stay aligned with them. Hey, Bill, you mentioned the Dow, and I'm actually reading this book, 1929, and they're talking about the crash that occurred, you know, over 100 years ago, and they're referencing the Dow was trading in the high 100s. And the low 200s. And here we are at 47,000.
Yeah.
It's like unbelievable. I remember as a young technology sales executive, I was calling on Shearson Lehman. And the guy was talking about, he's like, the market, can you believe this market? The Dow is now at 2,000.
Yeah. And well, when I got in the business, I think it was around 3,000, and here we have 47,000. There is a little sense of roaring 20s in the air, however. Not that I was around back then, but I remember they were building grand ballrooms and dancing the night away. I see Trump's doing a little demolition on the White House and adding a grand ballroom to dance the night away. So we'll keep our eyes and ears, our ear to the ground for Roaring Twenties music, and hopefully we're not setting ourselves up for a 1929 crash once again. And bread lines, anyways. The Consumer Price Index, that's the real reason the market is celebrating today. And when we come back, we'll talk a little bit about beef prices, now that we've talked about ticket prices to the World Series, airline prices, and other things, and why we got a cool CPI read. We'll be right back.
Said, don't you know me? I'm your native son. I'm the train they call the city of New Orleans. I'll be gone 500 miles when the day is done.
And welcome back here to the second quarter of today's Best Stocks Now show. You know, it's amazing what a tenth of a percent will do to the market. The market was expecting 0.4 on inflation for September, and instead it came in at 0.3. It's all in the numbers, and that sets off a new high in the S&P 500, a new high, all-time high. These are all-time highs in the Dow Jones Industrial Average. I also sent out charts this morning before the market opened to my subscribers and clients that allow those alerts and those messages. I showed a chart of all three indexes, three different messages, and I said every one of these indexes still look bullish from a technical analysis point of view. Now, here's the bugaboo, Jeff, on this 0.3%. Look, I like a good steak and a good hamburger as much as anybody. But do you know that uncooked ground beef up 12.9% year over year? Uncooked beef roast up 18.4% year over year. And uncooked beef steaks up 16.6%, which is pretty unbelievable, the prices. Why are beef prices in the U.S. currently at record levels? Well, they're saying there are supply shortages driven by long-term drought, high feed costs, reduced cattle inventories, and strong consumer demand for beef. Notably, the national cattle herd is at its lowest level in decades. Severe droughts over the last 5 years have forced ranchers to reduce breeding herds as grazing lands and feed become scarce. The replenishment cycle is expected to take several years. In other words, no relief in sight. And I know that the U.S. cattle ranchers are a little upset that Trump is at least looking at, I think, Argentina and Brazil as possible sources for beef to bring the supply up and to drive prices down. I'm all for it, but the cattle ranchers aren't. I think over at Hall's Chop House, Jeff, they've got a safe now that they keep the ribeye steaks in, and you don't have to know the combination to that. It's right next to the what's the what's the rare earth rhodium?
Yeah.
So with rare earth prices, what they are, I think a porterhouse steak is right up there with the others.
I think it's in line with scandium.
Yeah, scandium. Imagine if you're a Lone Star Steakhouse, you know, even McDonald's. I paid like $9.90 for just a cheeseburger at Shake Shack at the Charlotte Airport. And it wasn't very good to begin with. No tomatoes, no lettuce, no pickles, just a burger. on a bun with some cheese, $9.86. But that's the way it goes. Airfares are also rising for the third straight month. I can't remember the last time I was on a flight that wasn't full, and they weren't telling me to check my overhead baggage or maybe even climb up in there myself because of lack of space. So the airlines seem to be doing well. People are flying. I don't know, with this government shutdown, it's a little bit worrisome that there may not be a full staff up there in the air control tower. But the airline prices, we probably flew this year more than any in a long time as a company. And I expect that to continue next year, Jeff. We've still got Houston to hit. We've still got Pittsburgh to hit. We've still got Denver to go to. And then, we, of course, Minnesota. We can't forget Minnesota. We're starting to build our audience there in Atlanta after being there for just a few months. And then, of course, we got to get back to the Silicon Valley and Cleveland and Michigan, the Bloomfield Hills and Sarasota a few times. I see a lot of airfare in our future there, Jeff. So it's great.
It's great to be out there with the folks, and truly, we enjoy the workshops that we have, but also meeting with individuals one on one to hear their stories and to be able to help them, you know, grow their wealth, their retirement plans as they, you know, work on their different objectives in life.
Yeah, you know, that face-to-face, there's no substitute for being there in person. I mean, you just can't do it over radio, Zoom, over the telephone. I love that face-to-face interaction with people, with good people.
Bill, you have me worried, though, now about these meat prices, because tonight, maybe for the game, I'm going to have to do a salad. Because I did go to Costco
a few
weeks ago.
Chicken salad or something. You know, forget the burgers on the grill, man. Can you imagine the New York butcher shop going there and grabbing four ribeyes for the game tonight? Man, I'm telling you what.
Well,
you can use
Costco.
Bitcoin, though, to buy them.
Yeah.
Okay.
Or I could
Bitcoin
take in a bar of gold. I could take in a bar of gold that I could also buy from
get a few ribeyes. Okay, we've got Lilly buying another company. Well, you know, when you got a bunch of cash on hand, you can buy smaller biotechs. That gives you a big advantage over the Pfizers, the Mercks of the world that don't have a drug like the GLP-1s. I went out to dinner with a group of folks earlier this week, and everyone at the table was on GLP-1s. We had a lot of leftovers, Jeff, but it's still an expensive bill. How about a rare earth facility in Louisiana? Man, I love Louisiana. I went to the Cajun capital of the world there in Lafayette. My wife and I spent a couple of days in New Orleans when we drove out from San Diego across country, moving from one coast to another coast. Love Louisiana. We don't have a show there. I did have a little show in New Orleans for about 3 or 4 months, but I don't think anybody was listening to the channel except maybe for the crayfish down there in the swamps. But anyway, you've got a company, and I'm going to put this in my app, Aclara Resources. Listen to this now. Right now it trades on the pink sheets. I'm going to put a chart in the newsletter. It's a $2 stock. It has a fantastic chart. Okay, so look, it's an interest story for me. The symbol is ARAAF. They said Friday they plan to build a 277 million heavy rare earth separation facility, the first type in the U.S. Now, this is the third one, Jeff. You may not know this, but in Sumter, South Carolina, we now have a refinery for rare earth. They're building one in Utah. And now this is the third one refining of rare earth minerals. And it's going to happen in Louisiana. The symbol again, ARAAF. We'll be right back.
guys don't like him talking so much, and he won't play what they say to play.
This is Bill Gunderson. Thank you for tuning in to today's Best Stocks Now, Best Inverse Funds Now show. I put several hours of research in during the wee hours of the morning each day to bring you the very best cutting-edge stories that I can. To get 2 free weeks of my newsletter, go to GundersonCapital.com. To talk to us about our fee-based only money management services, call us at 855-611-BEST. Now, back to the second half of the show. And welcome back here to the second half of today's Best Stocks Now show. Just a little bit more color, Jeff, on this refinery. I don't see the city where they'll be building this in Louisiana. But the interesting part of this story that I just figured out, this company is headquartered in Peru. It is a $500 million company. This is no small company. They're a mining company engaging in the exploration and development of rare earth mineral resources in Chile, Brazil, and Peru. The company was incorporated in 2021 and is headquartered in Santiago de Surco in Peru. So interesting that they would build the refinery in Louisiana. But somebody, I do look at their key executives, and there's several Americans there, but I also see at the top, I see a lot of Peruvians, you know, the CEO, the CFO, the executive vice president are Peruvians. So there you go. You got, you know, obviously South America has always been a mineral-rich region of the world, and somebody from the U.S., talk them into building a refinery to refine those heavy metals.
It's probably a distribution. It's the distribution. You know, they're probably going to leverage the Mississippi River there and the shipping lanes that provide accessibility to, you know, being able to distribute their products.
Yeah, maybe even a little railroads involved there, too. I don't know.
And Bill, I'll tell you, I've been to South America numerous times on business, and that area north of Santiago, Chile, and the southern part of Peru is a desert area, but it is a mineral-rich area. For our listeners out there that are familiar with northern Nevada, for that matter, all of Nevada, it looks very, very similar to that, and well, I think there's a lot of mining companies down there that, pull a lot of stuff out of our good earth.
I find that really interesting because, you know, Nevada obviously is a very unique landscape. You know, as you come from California, which you go through some pretty verdant area there when you go through Big Bear and the Arrowhead and the Cajon Pass and all that with pine trees and snow and everything. And then you hit the high desert, right? And then as you get up near Mountain Pass, and then as you start to drop down into Las Vegas, you just see that arid, that heat. I mean, you can actually literally see mirages that look like water. And it's very salty. You've got the Bonneville salt flats up in that area. So that type of terrain and that type of heat must be have something to do with producing rare earth minerals out of the good old earth. I find it interesting that you say that because that's where we're finding the rare earth. It's all right there in Nevada, it seems like, in Wyoming, a little bit of Wyoming and Utah. Would you compare that area geographically to those areas in America, Jeff?
Yes, absolutely.
Crazy. Desert, I'm going to buy some land in a middle of a salt flat where it gets up to 127 degrees in the summertime and hope to find rare earth someday, right? Well, yeah. Is it better to buy companies that are hiring or is it better to buy companies that are laying off? Target continues to be a disaster. It really does. But Jeffrey says, well, you know, Intel went through a huge round of layoffs, and I guess finally a washout occurs, and if they're going to bounce back, you know, it's going to happen after they really clean house and kind of reboot the entire company. That's going on both at Intel and at Target. Target is laying off 1,800 middle management jobs, and, of course, that's Minneapolis. I've met with many people over the years in our trips to Minneapolis that one lady went back to the original Dayton or Hudson. I don't remember which one before it was ever Target. And, you know, a lot of connections there in that area to Target. It's kind of sad to see what they're going through. But you know what? They're going through some heavy layoffs and some analysts. Now, that's a different kind of investing. We do relative value.
Yeah, we talked a little bit about that yesterday, Bill. You know, the CEOs, they can control that expense line. And if there's an issue with expense, then their way is to cut cost. And
they have to.
You know, your employees are your most expensive asset, and if you can reduce that, it certainly helps. It doesn't engender them with the community and with their, you know, with their employees. But
yeah.
I saw yesterday, and I'm trying to remember the company, that the CEO actually came out and said, I'm eliminating 9,000 jobs and replacing it with AI. He actually came out.
I think it was Salesforce.
It was very, very old. And some people were saying, well, finally you have a CEO that is being straightforward about what's truly happening here.
Yes, I'm pretty sure it was Benioff, who also is drawing a lot of ire from the Silicon Valley because he called for the ICE raids in the Bay Area and San Francisco, and of course there's wide-scale protests. I was watching some of them on TV last night, and they were calling out Benioff specifically. They don't want the ICE raids in San Francisco. Of course, they're a sanctuary city, and they've developed apps to point out where the ICE agents are and this and that. It's quite a big controversial thing, and there's a few CEOs that they're calling out, including Elon Musk and Benioff, as far as these ICE raids taking place. Well, they're trying to also bring down crime in San Francisco and some of these crime-ridden cities. I know there's two sides to every story. Okay, this is a good news story. I'm the guy who had the audacity to say back in April 8th, after listening to our good Treasury Secretary, Scott Bessent, being interviewed by Tucker Carlson, saying, you know what, this is going to work. They're on the right track. This has to be done. As painful as it may be, it has to happen, and it's going to reshape the world going forward as far as the trade deficits and everything and the balance of trade. Apple starts shipping American-made AI servers ahead of schedule. And guess where they're building these AI servers, Jeff? Not in Beijing, not in China, but in good old Houston, Texas. All right? So our hat is off to Apple that has begun shipping advanced AI servers from a factory in Houston, Texas, as a part of the iPhone maker's $600 billion commitment to boost U.S. manufacturing. I just have to think out loud. Isn't it better to have Houstonians from Texas working than folks over in Shanghai? We're basically working under slave labor type conditions.
Yes.
I see that as a good thing. American-made servers.
And certainly Texas is quickly becoming the data center hub for a lot of these. You know, Houston, of course, is one of the largest cities in the country, but they're also putting a number of data centers in some of the, I don't know if remote cities is the right term, but some of the cities up in the panhandle, in West Texas, they're starting to put data centers up in those areas. And again, I think they want to give Americans the opportunity to work for them, but also you have a cost of living and labor cost variable to take into account. And those cities, Wyoming and whatnot, they provide a lot of those capabilities that make it attractive. Also, the ability to draw on the power is not going to suck energy away from a major city to
plenty of oil, you know, down in that territory, right?
Yep.
And hopefully they'll have some nuclear. Now, listen to this. Apple announced this factory back in February of this year. They have built a 250,000 square foot facility, and here it is, October the 24th. They've got that thing run up and running in 8 months. That is incredible. It's absolutely incredible. We're now building AI servers in Houston. And like you say, it has one of the biggest populations of any city in America. Most people don't realize it. And it's definitely on our itinerary. I'm going to print up some tour schedule shirts. We'll sell shirts at our rock concert when we come to Houston, Jeff. But Houston is definitely on the bus tour stop in 2026.
You got to go where you want to go and do what you want to do.
And welcome back here to the final segment of today's Best Stocks Now. Go a couple stocks. We'll get a couple in here before the end of the show. You hear me talk about Procter & Gamble a lot, the pride of Cincinnati. And, you know, I can remember in the early days of my career when the wholesalers used to come around trying to sell their mutual funds, trying to get us to buy their mutual funds for our clients. I remember one guy, he brought in a bag of consumer staples, Jeff, and he would pull one thing out, toothpaste. Here's how you start your day. He'd pull out a bottle of shampoo. He'd pull out a bar of soap. He'd pull out some deodorant. He'd pull out some toothpaste and on and on and on. And he would talk about their mutual fund that was full of all of these consumer staples. Of course, Johnson & Johnson, the baby powder, and on and on and on. And how these are things that you come use every single day. Why not invest in them? Well, unfortunately, they have not been very good investments over the years. Let's take Procter & Gamble, for instance, okay? Yes, it's a great company. Yes, they have products in many consumer categories. But an investment in PG, and I also bring this up because it is in almost every portfolio that comes to me from a big wirehouse firm or even one of the big regional firms, everybody has Procter & Gamble in it, all of them, Jeff, almost without exception. Over the last 5 years, an investment in PG has delivered 3.9% per year. 3.9% per year. Why? Well, because the earnings growth rate has been 4.9% per year. And I cannot emphasize enough that correlation between earnings and stock price. Stock price appreciation comes from growth in earnings. Jeff, if your earnings are flat, let's take Target, for instance. The only way you're going to grow your earnings is by laying people off and cutting expenses, right? And you can only do so much of that before you don't have enough people to do the work anymore. You've got to have growing sales, and you've got to have growing earnings. And when those earnings level off, when sales level off, you become a very mediocre investment for investors. Why then does Wall Street love absolutely love a stock like Procter & Gamble. And the consensus that I'd come to in asking a lot of CEOs and a lot of different investment advisors and people in the industry is you're never going to get sued by a client by owning Procter & Gamble. It's a blue chip stock. The arbitrator is never going to agree with the, you know, that you put them into an unsuitable stock in Procter & Gamble. And that seems to be the reason. But look at the opportunity cost, Jeff.
Okay, Farmer, it's a protectionist type of strategy, which for some folks could work. But if you're in the business of growth and capital appreciation, it certainly is not anything that is going to get you where you want to go.
Well, I mean, the whole purpose of investing in the first place and saving up for retirement is having your retirement funds grow. I've seen a lot of people, the worst example I ever saw was a woman that I actually knew in San Diego, and she worked for French's Mustard her whole life as a sales rep. And I don't know who owned French's now, probably Procter & Gamble, I don't know, one of the big conglomerates, Kraft maybe. But she, everything she put into her 401k, she just put it in the money market, and she looked at it as savings as opposed to investing. And where she should have had $800,000 or $900,000 with all the years that she worked there and invested, she had very little. I mean, she had like $150,000 in her 401k because she was earning 2 or 3% per year over that period of time. Number one, you're putting money away in a tax-deferred vehicle where the growth compounds and grows tax-free or tax-deferred until at such time you start to take money out. So you have a huge advantage in that you don't have to pay taxes on your gains every year like you do in a taxable account. And it just doesn't make sense to me to invest in mediocre companies, mediocre ETFs, mediocre bond funds, or mediocre mutual funds when you have a tax-deferred vehicle that you're dollar-cost averaging into over time. That thing should swell over time. Look, when I got into the market, the Dow, if you just put it in the Dow index or the S&P 500 index, over the last 20 years, the S&P has averaged 20%. And then you got a mediocre stock in today's world, Procter & Gamble, which has delivered about a 4% return over the last 5 years. So I think that kind of enforces my point a little bit of why we look for better stocks out there. Tonight, when you watch the World Series, you're going to see 25 very good players on one side and 25 very good players on the other side that have made it to the World Series. They're the best of the best. And I just say, if you've got a portfolio and you've got 25 or 30 spots in that portfolio, why take up valuable space in a tax-deferred vehicle with mediocrity? And that's why we do things just a little bit differently. Now, that doesn't mean you have to go out on a limb with leveraged single-stock ETFs and cryptocurrencies and penny stocks and all kinds of private debt and private equity and this and that. No, just look at the Dow. Look at the S&P index, what it's done over the last 20 years. These are the biggest and the best out there. But even amongst them, you still have to cherry pick. Okay, well, we're out of time. I'm going to be working on the newsletter this weekend, the big picture. Valuation is becoming very important once again. Get 4 free weeks at GundersonCapital.com. If you want to look and have us review your portfolio, give us a call. Set up an appointment at 855-611-BEST. That's 855-611-BEST. We'd be glad to talk to you. And see if maybe we can tweak things a little bit for you. Have a great day. Have a great weekend, everybody.
This show is not a solicitation to buy or sell any securities. Bill Gunderson or clients of Gunderson Capital Management may have long or short positions in stocks mentioned during the show. Past performance is not indicative of future performance. Gunderson Capital Management is a fee-based registered investment advisory firm. All accounts are held at Charles Schwab. Schwab is a member of SIPC and FINRA.